time for us to get into our nature diary. And this week, we are looking at the Endangered Wildlife Trust's online auction. That's coming up on the 8th of May. Joined in studio, as always, by our resident CSI nature conservationist, Tim Neary. Tim, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, oh, there we go. Now I'm second say good morning.
It helps when the mic is on.
Somebody's got to turn me on. And not just with a cup of coffee.
It helps when the mic is on.
Yes, yes, yes. This is what happens when you get to be a doddering old fart.
You old?
You got to be joking. I don't get old.
You know, you don't look a day over 25.
Yeah, exactly. You know, somebody said to me the other day, you look good for 90.
Rude.
It was very rude.
Rude.
I think it was while I was researching why walking sticks were invented.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why were walking sticks invented?
Well, one of the things was that a proper cane walking stick is a weapon.
Right.
And it's you know, there was a whole demonstration on exactly what you can do with it.
Right.
Yes, I think I'm going to get myself one.
Yeah.
Next bugger that tries to scam me out of money, I'm going to beat that.
With your walking stick.
Beat him with a walking stick.
And apparently, this is according to my grandmother, you can use walking sticks to cut the queue.
Oh, okay.
People are a lot more amenable letting you get to the front of the queue. And my gran discovered this when, so my mom had a really bad accident 8 years ago. She had crutches. So my gran just started taking my mom's crutches to the salsa office. And she'd get to the front.
Well, I figured the ideal way, I've got a moon boot and a set of crutches.
No, please.
So I thought, come voting day, I'm going to hire
put
it
on
out.
Your moon boot.
Moon boot and crutches, hire it out.
I'm pretty sure they'll like bump you to the front.
But it's my sister's all of 78, I think it is. And Lizzie, I love it because I pay for priority boarding, etc. She doesn't.
Really?
She gets on first. She gets the best seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you just got to walk, just got to have a walking stick and you're away. Walking stick and look a bit elderly, you know, sort of. Yeah.
Look a bit delicate.
Yeah, once they call you Madala, then you know it's okay. It's cool, I'm getting to the front of this little lot.
Look a bit delicate.
Yeah.
So this week we're talking about the Endangered Wildlife Trust, their auction.
Well, they've got an auction coming up as well, but they've also celebrated 50 years. And all started around the world of cheetah, which, as you know, I kind of enjoy. And, yeah, what are they up to? Why are they doing it? And what sort of auction do you have? Do you auction off animals and do you get them?
Yes.
Because, you know, is it like Botswana threatening Germany? Yeah, have 20,000 elephants.
Because we have nowhere to put them.
Exactly. You know.
And when you say they started with cheetahs, isn't that was the first animal?
Well, the very first painting that was sold by the Endangered Wildlife Trust, and I'm sure Tammy knows this, but the very first painting was of a cheetah. It was done by Clive Walker and bought by Anne van Dyck,
right,
who went on to have the De Wild Wildlife Cheetah and Wildlife Centre.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot attached to art and wildlife.
Mm.
You know, there are many occasions, it's one of the places where people put money back. So we're going to be chatting to a couple of corporates from time to time. I'm on a mission, and that's when I see a corporate using an animal, I want to know what they're doing about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're very quick to jump on the world of turtles and zebra and all sorts of things. Great guys. But what are you putting back? You're using the animal because nobody's able to speak up for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you were doing that and you were human, something would happen.
Yeah. Are you all right over there?
Yes. No,
I'm just having a little, I'm about to choke and cough up a lung.
Oh, okay. Well, while you do that and die quietly, we are joined by Business Development Officer for the Endangered Wildlife Trust. Tammy Baker joins us this morning. Tammy, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So tell us about the work of the Endangered Wildlife Trust. Tim tells us that it's been 50 years since the trust was founded.
Yeah, that's correct. We were founded in 1973, and as Tim alluded to, Clive Walker was one of the founders, and we recently celebrated 50 years in conservation. and we had a wonderful bush banquet at our conservation campus in Midrand. And we were lucky enough to have all of our CEOs present, and Clive Walker was there in the flesh, and he's such a wonderful, warm, he's just a legendary man. And as Tim said, he sold a few cheetah prints, because he's an artist as well as a conservationist, and he sold a few cheetah prints initially to raise funds for cheetah conservation. So Tim's quite right, we focused on cheetah conservation initially, as well as vulture and brown eye hyenas in the early days. But yeah, since then we've grown enormously. I mean, we've spread across southern and east Africa with our three sort of strategic pillars, focusing on saving species, conserving habitats, and benefiting people.
Yeah, I like the fact that for once people start to bring in the benefiting people. I mean, I think that's tremendously important for folk to understand. You know, it's not just a case of save the whale or whatever you're doing. There's got to be a reason for it. There's got to be that habitat. And then, of course, there's got to be an understanding of the relationship that it has with people.
Absolutely. And, you know, Tim, I think it is, you know, people are becoming more and more aware of it, but it's up to us to create further awareness. You know, and as people become more aware of the impact that we're having on the planet through our everyday actions, it's also empowering to know that you can, you know, that you can take everyday steps to sort of change our actions and support organizations such as EWT. Because, you know, without a healthy planet, without healthy ecosystems, without clean air and water, you know, there is no life. So that's pretty much what it comes down to.
I think, Googles, well, you know, one of the most important things here is to take away and understand when we talk about that word biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about organizations like the EWT, who I prefer to call the Endangered Wildlife Trust, Tammy, because otherwise you sound like Ute. you know, and I think what you've got to take out is that we made terrible mistakes as conservationists. We put up fences and we put game and we put animals and we called them game reserves. And those were conservation areas. Without people understanding that of the better conservation areas or of the biggest conservation areas are our cities. I've got a particularly annoying Jennet that's moved in and unfortunately took out Mrs. Cluck.
Who's Mrs. Cluck?
Mrs. Cluck was my chicken that used to drink whiskey.
But, oh, yes. And what happened to Mrs. Cluck?
Mrs. Cluck got taken out by the Jennet. And I'm happy about that because I'm sorry for Mrs. Cluck, but the fact that there's a Jennet now that's moved out of the riverine area and moving around the place is making life a little more happy. Tammy, you're going to do another auction.
Yes.
You're going to start auctioning wildlife. I mean, sorry, paintings.
Imagine.
Because if there is wildlife being auctioned, I wouldn't mind a cheetah.
Yeah, so we don't really support the pet cheetah concept. We're very much sort of wild and free is important. So, you know, animals need to be in
the wild.
You know, in the wild, definitely.
Yeah.
So we will not be auctioning animals, which is probably quite important to state up front. But, you know, the reason that I actually thought about an online auction is I host quite a lot of golf days and events throughout the year, just as to diversify our sort of fundraising income. And I had to postpone my Stellenbosch one because of those awful there was awful weather there in sort of early April. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, I've got all of these amazing prizes that have been donated by these incredible sort of tourism destinations, and the one was Thornybush, which is quite famous and very lardy. And I thought, well, imagine if I could get enough people sort of to see this, and I could auction it online. You know, it just gives us another way to bring in additional funding for our work. So yeah, we've developed this incredible website through the Expedition Project, which is a partner of ours now. And we've got some really cool accommodation prizes. And you spoke about art. We're going to be putting some art on auction, and a few photographers have donated their work. So, yeah, I mean, I think people need to go and check it out and see. You know, you're not only supporting our work, but you're either getting a cool item or an awesome weekend away somewhere in South Africa, which is what could be better.
And do you have a target for this auction? How much have previous auctions raised for the work of the trust?
So, I mean, our events have been pretty successful in the past. And, like, you know, on auction you could raise anywhere between sort of 100,000 to, you know, you could reach a million. This is the first year that we're doing online. And we've set the target at 300,000. The value of the prizes that have been donated is closer to 400,000. So we'd like to reach at least 300,000. But I'm really keen to see this as an ongoing annual event. So you know, we've got to find new ways to fundraise every year, and we're always under pressure to raise funds. So I'd love for this to become a sort of a regular funding stream for us.
Some idea of the type of items that you are going to have with it, particularly with the paintings, and you're talking of the expedition project. Is that where you disappear and you're able to go out on some of the experiences?
So the expedition project is a wonderful chap named Roger that I recently met, and in order to do this auction, I had to develop a website. And I didn't have any budget to do it. So I actually went to Roger and I said, please, will you do it for me? And he did. And he runs a whole bunch of online conservation courses, which he's donated a few for the auction as well. And then in terms of the sort of conservation experiences that we've got up for auction, for instance, I'm actually currently in Denekeng Game Reserve, which is, I don't know if you guys know it, it's just outside Pretoria. And we've got some awesome accommodation prizes, which include cheetah monitoring and rhino monitoring. So we've got a black rhino population here, which is quite special, because obviously black rhino are critically endangered. And this reserve currently holds 19 black rhino. So one of the experiences that we're auctioning is to go out with our black rhino monitors, and I mean they're just the most incredible animal, and just track them and learn a little bit more about them, and potentially see them on foot as well, which can be quite exciting.
There's something that takes you way back as well. Many years ago, Clive Walker had, because funny enough, Clive was also tremendously involved in rhino, bringing them back.
Correct.
Into Lapalala. And he had Buana, who was a black rhino, and then you had Miani, who was the white rhino.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, black rhino, which are grumpy outside, are very, very relaxed in captivity.
Really?
They were in a camp. They couldn't be released for a number of reasons. And white rhino are completely the opposite.
Really?
So you were able to, under certain circumstances, actually feel their tongue. And wow. You could feed him with, and you could see that sort of prehensile little trunk that the black rhino has,
yeah,
and so for chomping. And Tammy, I hope when you take people out to the black rhino, get them to go and dig around in the poo, because black rhino poo is particularly interesting.
Why is it interesting?
Because the sticks inside the black rhino are cut at 45 degrees due to their teeth, so you can actually make a little 90 degree angle. You put two sticks together.
Have you done this?
Yes.
Why?
Because poo is interesting. There's a whole lot of things you can learn about animal poop. Really, it's just not just some smelly stuff. It's really interesting stuff.
Fair.
Yes.
I'll have to take your word for it.
No, we're going to do a program now on animal poop.
All right.
It's particularly this time in the morning for breakfast.
Tammy, I wanted to ask, I mean, a big part of, so you have three big pillars, so around saving species, conserving habitats, and also benefiting people. And I'm quite interested in the benefiting people, about how, yes, we have to look at our look after our animals, the areas in which they live, but also think about the people around those areas, in those areas. How do we do that? How do we ensure that conservation efforts benefit people through the work of the trust?
So, I mean, Tim also alluded earlier to sort of the South African way of doing, you know, we have fortress conservation.
Yeah.
We call it fortress conservation. Is that, you know, there's the fences are up and we're trying to keep the people out, which is really impossible. And it's leading to the snaring problem that we have in this, in the whole of Africa is probably one of the biggest threats that our carnivores are facing. And, you know, all of our big reserves and the smaller ones have communities living right on the border. you know, the western boundary of the Krugers got over, you know, 2 million people living right there. And if you can't engage and bring people into to nature and to show them the benefit of it, then we're not gonna win in the long run. So we've got a program that's specifically focused. It's called the People in Conservation Program, and you know, you have to take a long-term approach when you're working with communities, and it's about, you know, it's about engaging and finding out what they need and how we can support them, and just showing them that we're there to support and open up new ways to, you know, to get sustainable income for these areas as well. It's a very long-term project. Always it has to be. But it's critical. We have to do this in all the areas that we work.
Tell me, just out of interest, some of the artists that you will be auctioning. Well, not the artists, but some of the names of the folk that are artists.
So, I mean, my main artist, she's a good friend of mine. Her name is Alice van Jaarsveld. You must check her out. She does some beautiful work, specifically around wild dogs and more recently vultures, because I've got a bit of a vulture. I'm vulture mad, so I convinced her to do a whole vulture sort of works on different vultures, leopard face and all sorts of beautiful birds. And you know, the wild dogs sold a lot quicker than the vultures did. So but anyway, yeah, that's just how people relate to certain animals, I guess. But Alice van Jaarsveld is one of our main artists, and Tim, she's the main feature. The rest of the prizes are very much sort of tourism based. You know, the tourist sort of industry is quite. I've got a few partners that are very happy to support conservation, because obviously tourism and conservation are very closely linked. So, you know, we've got incredible prizes from AHA hotels and lodges. I mentioned Thorny Bush, and there's many others in Stellenbosch and Cape Town as well. So mainly accommodation and a few sort of artists on board as well.
And the auction itself, has that the preview started on the 30th of April, but it looks as though that the auction is on the 8th. Is that correct?
Yeah, so... the way that we've structured is the auction is live, so people are able to go and bid from the 30th, so it's already open. And then on the 8th of May at 7 p.m., we'll be doing a live stream just to talk more about the auction. This will be with the Expedition Project. So it'll just be about the auction, what the auction aims to achieve, some of the cool prizes that you can bid on and win. And then this will go on until the 2nd of June. And in between that, I'm hosting two golf days, which will also have live auctions involved. So there's going to be a lot of prizes up for grabs, but it'll be a full month of opportunity for people to go and bid on these items.
I think when you have a look at this as well, Googs, and you look at some of the items that the Expedition Project undertake, mm-hmm. This is one of the ways, if you can, and you can bid on one of these and you get one of these prizes. Once you've touched that bit of wildlife, it doesn't go away. Once you've been on a turtle experience, once you've tracked cheetah, black rhino or whatever with the telemetry, and you actually understand them and you can sit and watch them from a distance and see, you know, just how they're operating, what they do, that makes a hell of a difference to you in wildlife. Mm. It kind of gets stuck, which I think is nice. Tammy, I like the idea. It's a hell of a lot better than yet another email coming across my desk saying, please give money. You know, and you're doing something to try and attract and get better exposure as well. And so that's really nice. And it adds to your 50 years, which is tremendously important.
Absolutely, Tim. And I think there's such a thing as donor fatigue, which we deal with quite a lot. And this is a, you know, it's a great way to bring on sponsors. So if people want to, you know, donate any sort of prizes, they could do that, and that's them supporting our work. People, you know, such as yourselves, media giving us extra coverage is very, very important for this. And then our donors and our bidders, because you're not only donating to our work, you're getting a fantastic weekend away in our amazing country. So yeah, I'm glad that you like the idea.
And so if we're looking to see what is on auction and if we want to make a bid, where do we go?
The easiest way is to go to the expeditionproject.com. All of our auction items are there, and we're putting out quite a lot of social media around it as well. But the expedition.com website is the easiest way to navigate it.
Mm. Tammy, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I hope the auction goes very, very well.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for your time. That's Business Development Officer for the Endangered Wildlife Trust, Tammy Baker, joining us this morning. Tim, I believe we're going to be talking about poop soon.
Yes, we're going to do a poopology project. A poopologist.
We're going to be in the poop, in it.
Yes, we'll be more than in the poop, I can assure you.
As South Africans, is not different or difficult for us. It's pretty familiar.
Yeah, have you ever met a German toilet?
We're used to being in the...
Yes, the brown sticky stuff.
Yeah, so I think it would be interesting.
But it is. You can tell the age, and I'll explain to you exactly how, by putting your finger into elephant dung, you can tell how old the dung is, when the elephant was there, and whether nice information like that.
I don't know that I would be putting my finger in there, but I completely support you putting your finger
in
there.
Come on, there's nothing nicer than on a cold winter's morning, if you're on a farm, putting your feet into warm cow dung.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. It's the nicest feeling you can have. It's all warm and pleasant.
Go away.
I can have my coffee now. Bye-bye.
That's our nature CSI and conservationist Tim Neary.